97.5, 1280 The Zone. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. A lot to break down on the show today. We'll transition into the U Preview Show coming up here in about an hour from now. Frank Dolce will stop by. We'll chat some Utah football with him. A lot of college football coming up over this weekend. But time to talk a little NFL. John Breach, kind enough to join us, NFL writer for CBS Sports. Also at the Pick 6 podcast, kind enough, again, to carve out a few moments out of his day. John, how you doing?
Hey, John.
Hello, John. John, you there? All right, no John. We'll try to get him back on the line. As we are live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4528 South State Street. A lot of great vehicles, price to move. Let's come on down here and say hi.
So we know that in the first week, we're going to see 15 teams lose that undefeated status, right?
Correct.
Within 2 weeks, there are only seven teams right now with a perfect record. They're dropping like flies. A lot of parity in the NFL.
All right. John's with us now. John, how you doing?
All right. Let's try that again. You guys got me this time?
We got you. Loud and clear. How you doing, man?
Fantastic. I am doing good, and I'm glad that my voice is making sound now. I feel a lot better.
That's always a plus. All right. So let's talk about who's – I know we're only 2 weeks into this thing, but who surprised you so far in the NFL season?
I would say one NFC team is the team that plays tonight, the Carolina Panthers. I think it's been pretty shocking how good they've been. I think that after week one, you know, they beat the Jets and everybody kind of just yawned and said, it's the Jets, who cares, not impressive. But then in week two, they came around and just destroyed the Saints. And then it was like, all right, well, this team might actually be good. And their defense has just been so good. And, you know, they used every single one of their draft picks in 2020 on defensive players. And that was a huge gamble and had never been done before. Now it looks like it's starting to pay off. So the Panthers look really good. And the AFC, I'd say you could go with the Raiders or the Broncos, but I'm going to go with the Raiders because I think their two wins were much more surprising. Against the Ravens, they looked left for dead. They were trailing 14-0. Baltimore's not an easy team to come back on because they can just run all over you and run out the clock. But the Raiders did it. And then the Steelers, you know, they had to fly. The Raiders had to fly cross country, go to Pittsburgh on a short week because they just played on Monday night and nobody really expected them to beat the Steelers. And they won that game. So I think by beating both those teams, feels like the Raiders might stick around and be contenders all season.
I got to agree with you. It's always surprising when the Raiders do anything good. Hey, I wanted to jump over really quick to the Jets and talk about Zach Wilson, a local product. We're all really familiar with him, and it's been a rough start through the first two games. What have you seen from Zach? What are you hearing about Zach Wilson through NFL, kind of the NFL wire? And what do you think about this Jets team with him leading it?
Yeah, I think that, you know, everybody saw last week's game or read the box score and thought, man, this is not good if you're the Jets. You don't want your rookie quarterback throwing four interceptions against in any game. But, you know, the whole rookie year is a learning curve. I actually didn't think Zach Wilson played horribly or he was as bad as his numbers suggested last week. Look, the Jets are not a good team. They don't have a very good offensive line, which is what you absolutely need if you're a rookie quarterback. He doesn't have a lot of people to throw to. I mean, he has Corey Davis, but Jamison Crowder was on the COVID list. And, you know, the defense isn't doing much to help them out. So it's not a great situation, but, you know, they have a new coach, and Robert Saleh wants to win, and he's a very good coach as a defensive coordinator with the 49ers. And so all they really need to do is build around him, and that's going to take a year or two. So I don't think that, you know, just if you're a Zach Wilson fan, you shouldn't have extraordinarily high expectations for the rest of the season because it's not going to be pretty. But, you know, I've seen enough of him. I think he can be good at the NFL level, you know, but I don't think the Jets are going to win seven or eight games this year. It's probably going to be in the 3-5 range, and he's going to go through some growing pains.
Urban Meyer, obviously, was the coach here. Now we're coming up at almost 20 years ago at the University of Utah. Turned this program around, and everywhere he's been a winner. But I don't know, man. I don't think I don't see this Jacksonville team winning games here anytime soon. How big of a heavy lifting job is ahead of Urban and this Jacksonville coaching staff?
Yeah, he definitely looks like he's in over his head. I mean, just the quote that came out this week about him saying every NFL game feels like he's playing Alabama is, you know, when he was at Ohio State, Florida, you're on the field, you have the best players in most games you're playing in because you recruited all the best players. And so it's a little easier to win. All of a sudden you're in the NFL where your team is either maybe as good as the other team, but probably not because it's Jacksonville. And, you know, maybe he thought Trevor Lawrence would be able to come in there and make that team competitive instantly, but that just hasn't happened. And so as someone who has not experienced a lot of losing, you know, you mentioned all the success at Utah with Alex Smith and before that Bowling Green, two smaller schools at the time that weren't Power 5 schools. And he just went in there and revamped those programs right away. And I think he's realizing that you can't do that in the NFL. You can't just turn these teams around in 1 year. So I don't know how much longer. It just feels like all the losses are going to wear on him is what it feels like. And I don't know how much longer he's going to last in the NFL.
Well, I mean, you know, USC's not bad, and he could be there next year and turn that program around pretty quick.
Absolutely. I'm waiting for the Bobby Petrino situation. We saw him do it with the Falcons in 2000. Just leave a letter in everyone's locker room in like week 8 and then dip out and say, all right, guys, I'll be in Southern California if you need me.
I wanted to talk a little bit about Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers' situation. I saw some of the comments coming from his former tight end, JerMichael Finley, going after his grit and determination to still be an NFL quarterback and kind of attacking his heart and then doubled down and said, be ready for Jordan Love week 4. But then you see Aaron Rodgers come out and have an incredible performance. Where does Green Bay end up, and do you believe that Aaron Rodgers has a lot more to show and prove through this season?
Yeah, I think he has a lot more to show. I think that there's a little bit of a history with JerMichael Finley and Aaron Rodgers for whatever reason, because if there is – whatever Aaron Rodgers has a down week or a down couple of weeks, the first person that comes out of the woodwork to comment on it is usually JerMichael Finley for whatever reason, and they're usually not positive comments. You know, him talking about Jordan Love playing by week 4 was ridiculous. You know, even if the Packers had lost Monday night to the Lions, they were not going to bench Aaron Rodgers. It just wasn't going to happen. And so, obviously, that was good to get that win out of the way because there definitely would have been some panic in Green Bay if they had lost on Monday, but they didn't. So now you're completely recalibrated. You start looking ahead on the schedule, and you say, all right, if we beat the 49ers, all of a sudden we're one of the probably top 5 or 6 teams in the NFC. So I think the Packers are fine right now. You know, I think I predicted them to go to the Super Bowl in the preseason, and I don't feel dumb for making that prediction just yet. Now, you know, if they go out and lose in the next 3 weeks, maybe the panic sets in. But I thought they looked good against the Lions, and what they did against Detroit was a lot of what they did last year with their offense. Their defense, a little worried about that because they haven't been able to stop anyone. But hopefully they can get that fixed up in the next few weeks.
After this week, most likely the Broncos will be 3-0 as they've got the Jets. Is that a sign that the Broncos are improved, or is it just a byproduct of who they played the first 3 weeks of the season?
Yeah, that's one of those. I think Denver has absolutely played well. Like Teddy Bridgewater has been playing out of his mind. I don't think anyone thought he was going to come out and do what he did. But it's kind of hard to gauge just how good they are because, you know, they beat the Giants. I think most teams could have in the AFC West could have beaten the Giants, you know, then Jacksonville and then the Jets this week. So I think if you put a good team and give them those 3 opening games, they start 3-0. But a big part of the NFL is, you know, you got to win the games you're supposed to win. And that's not easy. That's why there's any given Sunday. You see upsets happen all the time. And so, hey, 3-0 is 3-0. We might only have 2 3-0 teams come next week. It could be the Broncos and the winner of this Rams-Buccaneers game. So it's nothing to sneeze at. You got to like this. And I've been impressed with Denver. I think the AFC West could get a little bit crazy because there are 4 good teams in that division. I thought the Chargers were going to be the second-best team, and now they're looking like the worst team. So I think that one's going to be up for grabs, and I think the Broncos and Raiders will both be playoff contenders into December.
That AFC North division's interesting. Cleveland Browns, they suffer a loss in the first week. They get one back this last weekend. But how good do you think the Cleveland Browns can be? They've got the Bears coming up this weekend. And just curious to get your thoughts on where they finish in the AFC North.
Yeah, the Browns look really good. Look, they came out and played a fantastic game against Kansas City. It's just sad that they basically lost that because their punter couldn't catch a long snap, kind of fumbled that away, and then the game turned around and Kansas City ended up winning. But the Browns look so good, it's scary. I think that we haven't seen a Cleveland team coming in the season with high expectations in about 30 years. So you have no idea how they're going to handle it. And they've looked good so far. You know, they handled the Texans. I think they should be able to beat the Bears. They don't really have any their schedule is pretty favorable compared to the rest of the teams in the AFC North. That, you know, I could see them. They got the Bears and the Vikings, the Chargers, all very winnable games. And they have a stretch in the season where they play four straight games at home, which is a very rare thing to see in the NFL. And then you look at the rest of the teams in that division, they all have huge question marks. The Bengals are the Bengals. The Steelers dealing with Ben Roethlisberger being old and always being injured. We don't know how serious T.J. Watt's groin injury is. And obviously the Ravens are on about their fifth-string running back. And if anything happens to Lamar Jackson, that team is done for the season. The Browns feel like the AFC North frontrunner right now.
What do you expect? I know he's played a little bit here and there, but what do you expect out of Justin Fields in his first start?
I don't know. He played against the Bengals. We had to go in after Andy Dalton went down. He showed a couple flashes. He had a huge run on 3rd and 9 that iced the game, but the game would not have needed to been ice if he had not thrown an ugly interception the possession before that. So there's definitely going to be a learning curve there. I don't think he is going to put up huge numbers. You know, the Bears' offense isn't as high-powered as a few other offenses, or, you know, if he was playing for Andy Reid or something, I could see this being a huge debut, but I don't think he's going to do anything that's going to blow us away. And, I think what Bears fans want to see is to wake up Monday morning and know that Justin Fields played well enough that Matt Nagy's going to say, all right, this is our guy. This is our starting quarterback for the rest of the season, but I'm not sure he's going to play well enough for that to happen. So, I think he'll eventually get there, but I don't think he's going to play that well in his first start.
Yeah, I think that it's been really interesting, the start of this NFL season, and I wanted to get your thoughts on how much of a conscious decision this is. I think everything that the NFL does is conscious decision, but there really has not been a lot of political confusion attached to the NFL. You know, there's some things that are going on with COVID and those that don't get vaccinated and those, but they've kind of buried those stories. They've certainly buried a lot of the voices, the political voices that have polarized the NFL. They've really embraced military, had a great 9/11 service through that Sunday, through that weekend. How much have they tried to slow down all the political take and tried to make it more about football? Or am I just misreading that?
I mean, I think they've definitely tried to make it more about football. I don't think you're misreading that. But there's also, you know, the end zone still say end racism. You can still put decals on player helmets. But I think a part of it is just the fact that Donald Trump's not in office anymore. And I think that was kind of, you know, it felt like a lot of players were kind of offended by what he stood for, and that made them more vocal about supporting these causes out front. And that's not to say these players aren't supporting him anymore. It's just that the players don't seem as vocal. But granted, there are plenty of guys who aren't getting jobs, the Eric Reeds of the world, who were very vocal, and that's probably playing a reason, part of the reason that they're not able to. So, it definitely does feel like the NFL is trying to say, all right, let's just focus on the football. And, you know, it's working for them right now.
Well, hey, fun conversation, man. We appreciate it. Thanks for joining us, and let's do it again soon.
Yep, thanks for having me, guys.
John Breach, NFL writer for CBS Sports. Great podcast, too, the Pick 6 podcast as well. Just search for that and get that wherever you enjoy your podcast. But fun conversation for sure.
Well, so far, the NFL has been – it's just gotten back to football, a lot of football. And there isn't as much stir and conversation. That can be good and that can be bad, depending on whatever your agenda or your angle is. But – I do think the NFL, it feels like the NFL has made a very conscious decision to get things changed, doesn't it to you?
Yeah.
Do you kind of feel that way? Like you don't see the different storylines that we've seen over the last 2 years.
They still, you know, that you do see the end racism in the back of the end zones painted in. You do see
which is great
with the decals on the back of helmets and stuff that players can have,
which is great.
You know, it's an interesting theory on the Donald Trump situation. But, you know, you don't see – now, granted, we're not seeing a lot of national anthems, so I don't know if there is any kneeling going on at all. But if there is, the networks aren't showing it, so maybe that has something to do with it, that it's not being brought to anybody's attention, you know. So it does – that was, you know, that was the gasoline that really got a lot of people fired up. And either, A, it's not happening, or, B, it's not being shown, so nobody knows or nobody's talking about it.
Which would be a conscious decision by NFL and their distributors.
Exactly. And so, you know, I could see the NFL saying, look, we need your help in this. Do not show what's going on during the national anthem. And remember, they did say, like if you don't want – they told players, if you don't want to come out for the national anthem, you don't have to. You can stay in the locker room.
But if you come out.
If you come out, I believe
you got to stand.
So – and now I don't think anybody from a network.
At least that was the.
I believe you're right. I can't remember what.
It was. I don't know if they went back on.
I don't know if it was a mandate or just a suggestion. And I don't think the NFL networks have the time to go look and assign numbers and say, okay, this guy is. Yeah, no, he's not. This guy was not out for the national anthem. You know, like.
I've watched quite a bit of NFL football through the first couple of weeks. And I've just seen a lot of unity, a lot of military support. You know, through that 9/11 service, it was incredible. And you know how I feel about the military. Any event that makes it about the military, it's one of my favorite things about Charlie Jenkins concerts. Every concert I've been to, he has the military stand up, and we all get to recognize them and applaud them.
Please tell me he doesn't sing Lee Greenwood, though.
No, he doesn't.
Okay, good.
But I do.
Be
I do want to mention
if he did.
I do want to mention. I never had the guts to be a part of our military. I just didn't have the toughness, the guts. And so anytime you can respect the military and our service men and women, I'm going to love you for it. And I've seen the NFL do more of that over the first couple of weeks than I saw all the last two seasons combined.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. We're live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4528 South State Street. All right, so you got a Pathfinder. You can get that bad boy, which, by the way, brand new Pathfinder, redesigned from the ground up. You can get that for $319 a month. You can get a Frontier, also redesigned from the ground up, $329 a month. You get that Rogue that was redesigned about a year ago for $219 a month. Holy smokes, Rich. You're getting crazy down here.
Yeah, those are pretty fantastic programs. Those are not the most expensive cars in the world, but all cars cost a lot of money. We all know that, and so we try and keep a budget. Like most families, and we know that all the families that are out there that need cars and individuals, they need a payment that works.
Yeah.
They just need a payment that works, and they want a warranty on the car so that if something goes wrong, it's covered, and I don't want to have to take more money out of my pocket. So we design these financial plans so that they're as low as possible. We're great at it, and we can usually hit almost. If somebody's got a budget this low, we're here to make it happen. Whether it's on a new one or maybe it's on a used one. Doesn't matter to us. Whatever works for you.
The lifetime warranty was revolutionary. And you want peace of mind. As you mentioned, you know, you guys heavily discount. You offer a lot of incentives. But that's still an investment. And when you know that your vehicle is going to be on the road for a long, long time and it'll be covered. If engine goes out, transmission goes out, you don't have to worry about those $8,000, $9,000 repairs when you have the forever warranty.
You know, I've been in the business long enough. And most people get in that kind of jam. They end up losing the car.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the money. And that's why we did this. We don't want our customers losing their cars and then having a big jam up on their credit and all the ramifications that come from that. Cars are important in everybody's life. It's an American institution. We're an American institution.
Yeah.
We're here at Tim Daly Nissan to help our customers. And you can come in here and get a beautiful car that will take care of your family and yourself forever. If you want to keep that car for 30 years... I'll put a warranty on there for 30 years. It's already in the deal.
Yeah.
You don't pay any extra for
that. And it costs you nothing.
Costs us nothing.
$0. That's, come down.
That's right. $0 for our customer. So, and, you know, come on down. Check them out. They're fantastic.
4528 South State Street. Rich and his crew ready to help you out right now, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
It's game week for the Utes, and the Zone Sports Network is getting you ready for kickoff. The Utes open up Pac-12 play as they welcome in Washington State for an early start. Listen all week for your chance to win tickets to the game and then catch the Ute pregame show Saturday at 10:30 with a postgame show immediately following the game on the Zone Sports Network. From Monday morning to the postgame press conference. Nobody brings you better coverage of Ute football.
You ready?
Yeah!
Than 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly right now, brought to you by Zero Res, 801-288-9376. Get those carpets cleaned and get that A-plus in carpet cleaning. Again, 801-288-9376. Just got a heads up from Utah State during the commercial break. It's kind of a cool story coming out of Logan. A anonymous donor has purchased pretty much... There's still a few left. They want, you know, some for walk-ups and stuff like that. But a high majority of the available remaining tickets to the Utah State-Boise State game.
Mm-hmm.
And then Utah State is now in the process of handing those out to elementary schools across the valley so that kids who normally wouldn't be able to go see a game are going to be able to go and see a packed Maverick Stadium. Take their families, go watch a game.
Elementary school.
Elementary schools.
Is that first through third, or is that first through sixth?
First through sixth.
First through sixth. That's awesome. That'll be so much fun. You know, I don't know how they go about selecting the kids, and obviously they probably have to give them, what, four-piece, two-piece? So they're going to be a parent and a kid, however they distribute it.
I don't know the details on it, but maybe grab a couple parents, and off you go.
Well, that's a really cool story. You know, anytime you see a donor make some type of contribution that allows the kid to have an experience, hopefully to find the ones that have never had the experience.
Yeah, and I think that's their hope, is trying to target some mm-hmm. elementary schools that, you know, maybe feature some kids that probably don't get that opportunity very often.
Could use a little boost in life.
Especially, and it's not like you're, giving them the, even though the North Dakota game ended up being pretty good. I mean, this is a high-level game, and they want that place rocking, too.
Big-time game.
Yeah.
And it would have been sold out, in my opinion, whether this guy bought it or not.
It was heading that direction. I just talked to somebody up there, and they really felt like this wasn't something done to ensure a sellout. They felt like they were well on their way to a sellout, especially considering walk-ups and things like the way they were pacing at this point. So yeah, this certainly gets a sellout crowd coming up on Saturday.
Well, see, I always love the picture in these charitable moments. I always picture the best of things. And I know some things get taken advantage of, but I like to picture the best of things. And I like to picture a kid 11, 12 years old that's been playing football on the side of his house since he was 5 or 6, you know, throwing the ball around, acting like quarterback X, Y, or Z, and having the time of his life, but just not having the income, or his parents not having the income to even help him play competitive football, let alone take him to a football game. And that kid now getting an opportunity to step into that stadium for the first time, that warms my heart. The images and thoughts like that are what this world needs more of.
Well, and I know, wasn't the first college game you went to, you were playing in it?
First college I went to, yeah, I was being recruited.
That's right. Yeah. But I'll never forget, you know, as a 10, 11, you know, year old going to my first college football game and walking through that portal and seeing the whole field open up in front of you and just like.
It's bigger than your mind can really.
Whoa. You know, we get.
What stadium was the first year?
It was actually at BYU. My uncle was a big BYU fan.
That's a big stadium to step into.
And I remember I can't even remember the game. It was, I want to say, 88. They were playing Air Force, and Air Force was really, really good that year. And So he loaded us up in his car. We went down, and you know, I remember walking through that portal and just being like, oh my gosh, what is this? This is, you know, you don't expect anything like that. And, you know, when you're 10, 11 years old and you see that game, you know, you see that field just open up in front of you. It's just, it's breathtaking.
It is. And then the crowd, to hear the crowd and be there. So that's good. Hopefully those kids can enjoy it. Another piece of good that we wanted to mention is this $6,000 that's going to go to each one of the female athletes. It's up to $6,000 to each one of the female athletes at BYU. They've got to do some things through social media to earn it, and I'm fine with that. I mean, there's got to be a certain amount of that. But these girls have an opportunity to bring another $6,000 of cash into their pocket. And it's a pretty cool offer by Smarty Streets. I don't know a lot about Smarty Streets, but you said Jonathan Oliver was on.
It was on Jake Hatch's podcast, Locked On Cougars.
Okay, he came on with Jake Hatch.
Yeah.
But to me, this is incredible because you've got 300 female student athletes, and you're talking about getting them $6,000 apiece. That's close to a $2 million benefit.
Yeah.
If each of them does what they're supposed to do to get that money. So
I just think it's a really, really cool story to see people and to see opportunities for these kids. Because, look, Jaren Hall or whoever the starting quarterback is always going to is always going to have opportunities.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's NIL money or working for a medical device company afterwards, like those doors are always going to be open for those guys. But what would really be impressive is for kids that aren't necessarily your starting quarterback. I love seeing deals coming in for offensive linemen. I love having Mason Wake be part of our station because he's just such an integral part but doesn't make a lot of headlines.
Mm-hmm.
I love that the female athletes at BYU are going to have an opportunity because those are the ones that are – those are the athletes that a lot of times are going to fall through the cracks on these NIL deals because everybody's clamoring for the big names.
And it's also the ones that this is going to mean more to.
Exactly. That's a great point, yeah.
This will mean the world to them. You know, I was thinking of in terms of my daughters out there and they work so hard in their given sport – you know, my daughters work just as hard. It's not as physical a sport in volleyball, but they work just as hard, just as many hours, exerting just as much energy. Just not as physical as a game as football. But these kids are out there working their butts off. These girls are working their butts off. I know it's going to be more difficult to get your return on investment because they aren't as visible. But I love that somebody is giving this a try, and I hope that it works to their benefit. I hope they clean up. I hope they get a nice ROI on that.
Yeah.
Because that is putting yourself out there.
All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Good, the bad, the ugly here on the Zone Sports Network.
Well, this kind of came out of the blue for me. I didn't see anything like this coming, but yesterday the Minnesota Timberwolves announced that president of basketball operation Garrison Rosas was fired.
Yeah.
And the team came to the decision after learning more about his relationships within the organization. And apparently, Scotty, he was having a relationship with somebody else in the organization. Team owner Glenn Taylor announced Rosas' firing on Wednesday, replaced him with Sasha Gupta, the Timberwolves executive vice president of basketball operations. And there are two, obviously, incoming owners, the new owners, Laura and Rodriguez. They actually were evaluating Rose's performance this summer, and they were planning to relieve him of his duties at some point, but then they got wind of this relationship and they really hurried things along. But it sounds like, to me, it sounds like it's creating more issues. Towns and others are having an issue with this. I think Towns, it was instantly tweeted out a WTF, and I think that there were a lot of those guys were caught off guard with this firing.
Yeah. It surprises me that, I don't know, it blows me away that somebody would get caught in the weeds on stuff like this. It just, you got a job, you got a great job. There's only 30 of those jobs in America. That's a great job. And how some people just make really poor life choices that cost them those jobs. It just, I don't know, it just blows me away. Yeah. I just can't wrap my brain around it.
Doesn't make a lot of sense to me either. Maybe the power goes to your head. Maybe money and a job doesn't play that level of importance, but typically title does.
Yeah.
You know, most of these guys that have enough money that they could go the rest of their life without making a penny, they still like to have that power and title. But obviously this guy didn't, I guess he didn't like his job enough to be a little bit more careful with who he was doing business with and who he was seeing outside of those business hours.
All right, there's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And of course, the ugly.
So Tom Brady's personal trainer, Alex Guerrero, who has been with Brady for a long, long time and kind of his confidant. So when he talks about Tom Brady's relationship with Bill Belichick, know that it's probably coming with some level of experience and education on this. Said that one of the reasons why Tom Brady wanted to move on is that Bill Belichick, quote, never evolved in how he treated the star quarterback, and that contributed to Brady wanting to leave. Said, quote, it was like Bill never really, I think his emotions or feelings never evolved with age. As Tom got into his late 30s or early 40s, Bill's still out there trying to treat him like a 20-year-old kid he just drafted. And all the players and everybody realized Tom was different. He's older. He should be treated differently. And all the players, none of them would have cared had Tom been treated differently. But that was a Bill thing. You can't treat someone in their 40s like they're 20. It doesn't work. And I think that bothered Tom. So I can see both sides of this. If I'm Bill Belichick, I want a locker room where I can say I can, if I got to yell at a star for a mistake or if he's not doing the things that I'm asking him to do or that I expect everybody else to be doing, then I'm going to make an example out of him because I can't have that attitude going out throughout the rest of the team. However, when the team, I mean, look, you guys probably in the Colts locker room realize Peyton Manning's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And Peyton Manning's going to get some things that we don't get because he's Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning helps us win a lot of games, so we understand that he could be treated a little differently.
Very interesting.
And I understand if Tom Brady, and I understand why Tom Brady would want to be like, look, I'm a first ballot Hall of Famer. I'm going to be recognized as the best quarterback to ever play the game. If I want to do this, then I think I should be able to do it. I see both sides of this. But I can understand why Tom would want to go somewhere else.
Yeah, and I would understand why Bill would want to keep
exactly.
doing what he was doing because
yeah.
he's winning championships. So in his mind, he's like, well, why would I change anything I'm doing? We're winning. You're winning. Why would you want to change anything we're doing? We're winning. So I'm going to keep treating you like I treat you. I'm not going to change based off of how veteran you feel you are. And we're just going to keep winning Super Bowls until you're sick of winning Super Bowls with me, and then we'll see what happens after that. So I'm okay with Tom leaving. I'm okay with Bill continuing to coach. We'll see what this New England Patriots team is this year. Seems like they might have a just above 500 season. And it seems like Tom Brady's going to go win himself another championship.
Yeah.
So to me, it feels like, and I don't know how Bruce Arians treats Tom Brady. I don't know the inner workings there, but it seems to me like they've got a much more unique and developed relationship than Tom and Bill ever had.
Yeah.
And they're in year two. Tom and Bill were in year, what, 17?
Yeah, yeah, something like that.
And not forming, you know, you always saw those weird, awkward hugs, but you never, Bill is just emotionless.
Yeah.
Bruce Arians is a much more emotionally involved individual. You can tell he loves his players, and he openly cares about his players. He'll gut you, but he has a very emotional connection that I kind of like, and it seems to be working really good for Tom.
Went on to say people could have made different choices and Bill and Tom could have rode out in the sunset together. That would have been a cool story. Sadly, that's not the case. So according to this guy, who I think this guy would know, there's certain people that you listen to when they talk, and the personal trainer of Tom Brady, who's been with Tom for, you know, over a decade, I think probably has a good vibe as to why Tom did not want to finish his career in at New England.
I would agree.
What is going on?
That right there is man crush.
I have not seen Crusher in forever. Is it your birthday? What's going on?
Oh, man. I don't know, but it has been a while since the Crusher has made an appearance.
Oh, you know what's going to be fun is Frank Dolce and Crusher hanging out together.
Oh, boy.
Did you know this was going to happen?
I didn't. I did not. But we shall see. You never know.
I'll let you. Yeah.
He's got a gift.
I'm going to stand back and let you guys figure this out.
He's got a gift.
Hands of Scotty.
He's got the jersey.
Get ready. Something weird's going to happen next. 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Joined now by Lincoln Kennedy, Raider radio analyst, Tampa Bay. That defense, is that championship-level defense? They've given up a lot of points through two games.
Without a doubt. You can't convince me that Tampa could go into Green Bay, the quarterback can throw three interceptions and still walk out of there with a win if they didn't have a good defense. The defense won last year's Super Bowl for him. I know what Brady did. I'm not trying to take away from his shine. One thing I would definitely tip my hat to, and unfortunately have to, is the fact that they were able to keep their entire team together. After winning a Super Bowl, I don't remember if that's ever been done before. So, you know, just as strong as ever. And if they don't lose this week against the Rams, I have a hard time figuring out when they're going to drop one. They could very well go through the season unscathed.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Time for another edition of Whole World News brought to you by EliteWorks. If your website sucks, now's the time to get it taken care of. Shows who you are as a business. So if your website stinks, people are going to think you stink.
So I talked to Scotty last night. He said, hey, so I had two people call and tell me that they didn't get in on the free website design and that they could get in on that. Are you still saying that? I was like, oh, yeah, well, not entirely. But, you know, if people are out there and, you know, you've been listening to us for a while and you've heard the offer for the free website redesign, 844-523-2777. You heard that offer a while ago. They'll honor that.
Yeah. Maybe don't go right to Scotty. Find like an underling or somewhere. Be like, hey, no, it's all good.
Yeah, well, we've talked to him. Yeah. But seriously, free website redesign, 844-523-7 or a fantastic price on a new web design.
Yeah. All right. He owns the website, handsmancrush.com. He went to EliteWorks and got that website set up.
Did you really get that website?
Oh, I've got to have a website, and it's dedicated to photos of you. Some of them I've taken, you know, stalking, or some of you've known about. But it's if you're intrigued by the build of Hans Olsen, you'll want to see this website.
And various levels of dress.
Scotty, can you don't? No, not you, Scott. Uh-oh. Don't feed into this.
Not you, Scott.
Not you, Scott. So Scotty has now been witness. He was witness to the 10-year anniversary, and you saw a box of whatchamacallits.
Yes.
I think was brought in and kept in my freezer. And there were 30 whatchamacallits in the box. It took me 30 days to get through my box.
It's funny you say that because I got to spoil the gift. That's what's in the bag is another case of whatchamacallits. Minus five or six for taxation.
There you go.
You know, I pounded those coming on the way down, but five's getting to be too much. I got a sugar rush going on.
Oh, you really did. You popped open the box and ate five of the whatchamacallits.
It is a few. Might be a baker's dozen. Not sure.
So what are we looking at in here now? Is it really 15?
It's 15 years. 15 years ago. I think it was actually 2 days ago. But 15 years ago, came and was feeding the seagulls next year at the United Way Gateway Day. And you happened to be discussing man crushes. And I got accused of having a man crush, which I took honor to. And called you and let you know our birthdays are close together. We love Little House on the Prairie. We have an affinity for the whatchamacallit, and things took off from there. We've done the rap. And by the way, you talked about that tennis match. Remember who rubbed the Bengay when you blew that hamstring?
Yeah, I didn't quite blow it, but I do remember.
Oh, it was shredded. You couldn't play anymore. It's too bad because you were on a roll.
I love the fact Hans pulls up. He's like, oh, my hammy's going. And Crusher's like, I got this.
I had some cream.
I got this.
Well, let me tell you how quick my hamstring healed. I was like, well, I think we're better.
I thought you should have withdraw.
It's like, Hans is like, do I still get my butt kicked by 11-year-old? Or should I have Crusher rub my hammy?
She was 16 at best. She was 16.
She was, wasn't she?
She was
older.
So,
like,
you know.
I felt like I was out there playing Alien Gonzalez.
That was a discreet age.
So 15 years ago, you guys, you know, Hans is doing a live broadcast. You guys lock eyes, and it's love at first sight.
I locked eyes on him. He was a little uncomfortable. It was a tad awkward. And then he gave in. He gave in to his emotions. And a man crush developed, and I learned what a man crush was.
I think I gave you guys tickets to a, was it James Taylor?
James Taylor.
Yeah.
Good memory.
Yeah,
it was. But no, we didn't lock eyes. In fact, at one point, Lund said, hey, do you know that guy he's sent over there? He's been looking at you for the last 2 hours. And I was like, don't look at him. And he's like, well, he's kind of looking at us. And then I looked and I'm like, oh, he is looking at me. And sure enough, that was the man crush.
I think it was like one of your first days, and there was a lot of celebrities there. Lemma Harrington was doing his show, all kinds of people. My friend's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I got to meet this guy. That is a Jughead I need to know right there.
Well, I appreciate it, Crusher. Years of support you've given me, and I appreciate it.
I don't miss a day. It gets busy, but I haven't missed a day.
15 years today.
Did you do a tribute?
I did.
All right.
These tribute. No, don't all right.
No,
these,
I did.
No, these make me nervous.
Lloyd, you want to roll on this?
Lloyd, stay close to the dump button. Don't roll on it.
You know me. I like to put my thoughts pen to paper.
Yes.
Yep. That's how I express myself. Okay. You ready?
We've been ready for this for a while.
This one's a good one, and there's a gift that accompanies this, but I'll let you read it afterwards. You have been given the honor of being named my little buffalo. Oh, but there are many reasons why you are the Pate Tatanka, my buffalo using the Lakota translation. Tonka meaning great or large, and you will always be large and great to me. What I find to be of true destiny, though, is the Arapaho word for buffalo, Hans Sasi. I'm not making that up. But I challenge this pronunciation. I believe it is pronounced Hans Sasi. Much like your name, which has been pronounced wrong throughout your life, this ancient beast of the fields, roaming for thousands of years, has also had its name butchered. A disrespect to both you and the other magnificent creature. Long I have pondered. I have often wondered, are you a plains buffalo or a wood buffalo? A plains buffalo being the smaller, stealthier of the breeds. A wood buffalo, the larger of the two, and having a large, square hump. I submit that you are your own breed, for stealthy you are, and your large, square hump is divine. The heaviest bull ever recorded was 2,800 pounds, but you are my 3,000-pounder, with tender backstraps, succulent filet mignon, and we'll pass on the flank steak. Buffalo are renowned for grazing. In fact, buffalo graze 2 hours a day. I have watched you graze longer on piles of fudge, stacks of whatchamacallits, smokies and meatballs, and cookies without the extra preservatives. I have hand-fed you and tenderly wiped the pounds of excess drool and sludge from your buffalo lips.
Oh, do we have video of that?
Oh, and to watch you chew cud, like a strand beast generating massive wind tunnels with every chew. Much like the buffalo in winter using their large skulls to clear out snow for the grass, I have observed in awe as you lower your skull and clear your entire driveway of snow and debris. When the neighbors look on in horror, I yell, this is Hans Sasi. This is not received well. Ah, but it is not all easy, as nature rules your behavior, the rut. When you are in the rut, you are erratic.
Yeah, that's true.
You cannot control where you pee. Oh, careful. You rub your horn incessantly in the cedars and pines to find comfort. You chase your wife as she screams in horror. It puts me in a rut just watching you. A buffalo wallow is a shallow depression in the soil created by movement. The buffalo rolls in these depressions. On long days, you say, "Crush, I just need to wallow." As you roll in the 10-foot deep wallow you have created, I toss candy to you like a seal as you repeat to yourself over and over saying, "I love candy. I love candy." Buffalo are the most dangerous animals encountered by humans. They provoke easily. Why? I submit to you the cheese fry. Many years ago, we were eating several pounds of cheese fries. I felt safe, but it took a handful that had the most cheese on them. I soon found myself being gored. Oh, the joy as my body endured the ravages of goring brought on by taking more than my share of cheese fries. Indeed, the buffalo is stoic, majestic, strong, and steady. As we sat at the recent play of Guys and Dolls, we sat together, and I knew I had the bull of the woods, and he was my crush. For 15 years, it has been my honor to call you Pate Takanka, or Niya Hansesi, my buffalo.
You know,
and I give you the gift.
I got tears, man. I don't cry, but that was heartfelt. That was special, and that was loving. And I, you know what? I congratulate the loving couple on 15 years together. And that is, you know, I don't know what you give on the 15-year anniversary, but let's find out.
I've been studying the buffalo for years.
Yeah.
This is, in fact, a
that's a color buffalo. Because you're a colorful man.
Oh, look at
that. Is that hand-painted, Crusher? Did you hand-paint that?
I did hand-paint that. Again, artistic qualities is what I like to show.
I quickly see there are six, whatchamacallits that have been.
Yeah, I thought
maybe. Those are.
So what they've done, and I don't like it, they let somebody rename the candy bar. It's the whatchamacallit. They let somebody rename it every 6 months, and so Lisa renamed it. I don't like it, but it is a whatchamacallit.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's he, what's it?
Now, maybe we should come up with a name.
Well, I'll tell you.
Don't touch it.
Whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not a lot of times I see Hans Olsen really overtaken by emotion, but we've seen that today, and we can't thank you enough for this.
Well,
I crush you, buddy. I crush you.
You always leave me uncomfortable and unknowing, Crush. I've appreciated your 15 years of backing.
Just give in.
Because, you know, even when I felt like nobody was there, I felt like at least I had one guy out there. So
there's been lonely days just jumping that wallow.
Quite the poem, man. Quite the poem.
Hey, gentlemen, you're good to me, gentlemen.
Hey,
thank you.
You're the best, Crusher. We appreciate it. How special was that?
Well, it was a poem.
May go to music.
Don't make that. Don't turn that into music.
Oh, yes. That'd be a great song. He even got Man Crush on the back of the jersey. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He had the jersey made up with Man Crush on the back.
I know the 72. I just thought you found a random 72
jersey.
And it's
an extra large. I tried to get in it.
Yeah, it wasn't working.
It's the creamsicle. He's got the creamsicle Buccaneer jersey.
Awesome. All right, we're live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4528 South State Street. Coming up next, we'll kick off your U preview show next.